So what's on your mind this morning?
Somebody lead.
Did you have your
Anybody
meeting?
Anybody out there?
There's Ben.
What's going on? I can't hear.
Morning.
He's being quiet.
Morning.
We got our quarter of market. We got our quarterly market commentary out, and I think we're going to get rave reviews on it. So we send that to clients every quarter.
Awesome. That's great.
Did an interesting thing this time because we highlighted in it a stock we bought as a new position, a stock we sold, and a stock we bought back after selling it once before, and explained why, and said some people are interested in how we make decisions. So this is an example of how we make decisions. So I thought that was a worthwhile part of when we went over the stock portfolio portions, it was a worthwhile addition.
That's great. And you're dealing with rational world. Occasionally the market is not rational, as it wasn't last week. So assuming that you know what you're talking about and can buy good value, you probably did some buying last week.
We bought one thing last week. So
yeah,
I guess that's better than no things.
Right. They were throwing them away, which is
right.
Great.
Right.
So
yeah, I'll chime in on that, guys. It's Jamie here. Good morning, everybody. Being
hey,
obviously the newest member of the team here. Looking at this for the first time, I thought the market commentary was good. I mean, the transparency I thought was key, especially that scenario you just verbalized with the stock that was sold and rebought. I think there is a fine line sometimes between transparency and then obviously reminding people there is a secret sauce and there is a skill and a discipline and an investment of time and energy and expertise. So I think you don't want to go past the point of diminishing returns of lifting up the kimono on every single thing. But I thought that was a really good sort of case study of transparency where it made sense to walk through the decision making. And it's the first one I've seen, so I was impressed by that. I thought it was really good.
Good. Thank you, Jamie. I'm with you. We won't necessarily give our secret sauce every time.
Exactly.
Because then they're going to be like, oh, that's how you buy and sell stocks? Cool, I'm good.
Yeah, thanks for the advice. I'll do it on my own. Take care.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for teaching me.
But now and again, it makes sense to you know, use examples like that to build trust and explain decision making, you know, paradigms without going too far. And yeah, that really stood out for me, but it was a really good, concise newsletter or summary, if you want to call it that. Yeah, I liked it.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
We got some. I have to be careful. I'm not using it as a solicitation. We're going to have to develop something different to solicit actually people who are not clients.
Yeah.
And I did it, you know, I said, forget it. It's just for clients. But I did send it to some of my EO members asking for feedback, not explicitly saying this is not a solicitation. And one of them already wants to forward it on. I have to stop him. But he said, dude, great read.
Yeah,
thank you for sharing. Are you cool with me sharing this? I'm going to have to tell him no. But
No.
But Jamie, we'll develop, as the growth and marketing director, we'll develop something else to share with prospects. We can just do something else that's a variation of it. We all have some thoughts on how we can all contribute to this in the future and write, you know, different sections of it.
Agreed. Yeah. Two very different looking documents, but absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
So Ben, what's on your mind and how was the week? What processes did you put in place, et cetera?
Yeah. Let's see here. Your book scared me, Rob. The book you had us read, chapter 2, 3, and 11.
Yep.
So I think I need to make some adjustments.
Good.
Yeah. So, I'm about 5 years from that guy. I'm about 5 years away from that guy, that we were reading about in that book. So I'm looking to reverse that trajectory versus, you know, continue on that trajectory. So processes, one of the processes, we're going to put in place for the letter is, Jamie, I'll lead you on to this, but I'm hoping with your Oxford MBA, you can help us write the economic section next time with us. Intro and conclusion. Dylan, I'm going to hand you bonds and alternatives. All we have to do is talk about like some actions in the quarter. John and I are going to do the high level portfolio. Brick and I are going to do the high level portfolio and equities. And that way and then we'll pull it all together. The important thing is a strategic message. This time the message was, we have a history of adapting. The sun will continue to rise on Wednesday in the East, and we will end up with a president, and we will continue to adapt whatever happens, because people are so nervous. This first sentence was, you know, there's an election on Tuesday, and if you're like most Americans, you're probably a little nervous. I'm starting to get the calls in. Why don't we sell out all of our stocks? You know, so I got one of those calls on Thursday or emails. I got another one on Thursday that was an email. So I got two in. And then I've got, of course, you know, when you get the opposite happening, it's always funny how you get both sides. So I got a guy that, you know, I put in the letter, there's some really fun facts. One of them is that the 5-month consecutive return between April and August was the best 5-month consecutive return since 1938. And of course, how many people sold in April? I have two. Okay. And so one of them read the letter, and said, after we know who the president is, I want to get back in. So good one, Brian. Let's do that for the rest of our lives, right? Anytime something's going to happen in the future, let's just go by the sidelines. Let's see what's going to happen next, and then we'll pull out again. So I'm thinking, I'm just going to tell this guy, if you have me sell out again, all of your equities, it's going to be the last time I do it for you. Cause you can do it yourself. I'm not going to be part of it. So I kept him in moderately conservative from, I don't know, moderately aggressive or something. You know, but because we have our models, so we can always keep people somewhat invested. Even if they thought they were moderately aggressive and they can go to conservative 25% equities at the lowest. Oh, why don't you just wait and see? At least you can see when the market turns around.
Right.
But I'm going to reiterate to this gentleman that if he wants to do that again, he's going to do it on his own. You know, so that's one. It's not a big client. It's a friend that, you know, that I'm trying to help, but you know, you can only lead a horse to water.
Those are always the ones that are the worst.
Right. It really is. Let's see. So processes that we're putting in place. Let me pull my workbook out. Here's something really good. This is the first time we did this. So, you know, we're doing our 16-month calendar instead of 24 months.
Yep.
You know, for now. We actually got the whole fourth quarter loaded into our software. We have a cool software called TimeTap, although, John and Pav, I do want you guys to check out the scheduling software, Excel spread that Lori and Cindy sent. I'd love some feedback on that, before next call to see what we have there. We have a scheduling software called TimeTap that my friend Chuck Lutz, who, you know, worked at CoStar, helped us implement when he worked for us. And, we actually hard code the agendas into it so that it spits out a week prior it allows the client to click a button that says looking forward to it if we know that they're effectively confirmed, although we don't use that language. And then if we haven't heard from them, we call them 2 days prior, which you know is the process. So like today, we'll call for Wednesday. And we actually see if somebody's got a thumbs up on the software, it means that they click the button that they're expecting the meeting. So the beauty of this is that we actually hard coded the entire fourth quarter. So I've got November and December done for about 110 meetings, which is beautiful. We've never done that. Today's our first day. It's the, you know, first day of the quarter of the month. You know, first Monday, and, it happens to be, you know, the first day of our schedule. And, we've never been in a place that, where we have literally scheduled the entire quarter's agendas, you know, for every client. So that's a process that we put in place. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Team meetings. When are you having them?
Yeah. So we're having a meeting at 12:30 on Friday. That's a team meeting. Adam, you can speak to that too.
Yeah, I had it at 11:30 though. I just want to confirm what time it was, but basically it's similar to, what you've talked about before, Rob, regarding getting the team together all on the same page. So this is our weekly meeting, where we're going to discuss any to-dos that everyone has on their plate, any rocks or quarterly goals, the status on those. And really the other half of the meeting is about solving, finding and solving issues. So what's keeping people from getting things done? What do we need to solve in the next week until the next meeting? So we'll be discussing that and just walking through the agenda for the first time.
Can we run that through the model of the five stars, having them report same thing, what's holding you back, et cetera. What are your issues? What are your rocks? But do it based on the five stars. Planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership.
Yeah, I mean, each, when you're going through the rocks or the quarterly rocks, each person is assigned their own, and we have everyone assigned as one of the five stars. So what we can do is they can discuss not only their rocks, but also their role within that function and say, here's what the director of brand management is having trouble with. Here's what planning's having trouble with, and so on.
Great. Awesome. Great. And I love the goals. I mean, you know, this is goals for the week based on our goals for the month, based on our goals for the quarter, based on our goals for the year. So just, having you keep them accountable is terrific. So way to go.
Then one other, let's see here, opportunity to discuss, you know, somebody who's always missing their appointments. And, I wanted to get, there's a really good thing that you did in, you know, in the book and actually the video, which shows, you know, why do we have this schedule in the first place? So, you know, the client's basically always canceling, but you know, one time, for example, we missed an RMD. Okay. And it's like, it's not just, oh, we're good. We don't need to, you know, to do that. So I wanted to kind of work through this scenario. I'll pull up the email from the client.
Well, Ben, let me interject. If you send them the appointment with an agenda,
yes,
it changes the dynamics of the experience.
Yes, we did that.
And they still cancel.
We would like to cancel it. No questions at this time. Well, okay. You mean you don't want to hear about us moving to Schwab next quarter because we have to send you paperwork? You know, I don't know. I mean, what else did we do? They did client surveys. We sent out a client survey. We were going to go through the results. One of those that they said is that they don't want so many meetings. I don't know what else was in there, but there had to be something else that was useful. But this is a perfect example for us to practice, you know, role playing what happens when somebody's not completely on board, basically.
Yeah, they don't. That's, we call that a yellow light. When they're canceling or they don't, they say, oh, you only need to call me quarterly. It's a yellow light.
This one was less than quarterly.
Yeah, less than quarter. It says something. It said there's an issue. They're not valuing. They don't take their money seriously. They're not valuing us. There's something going on that is wrong. Okay. Because if they have, and your clients have enough money.
Yeah. This one doesn't. This one's a smaller, you know, legacy client.
That may be the issue.
Right. I think they like us. They appreciate us. But the money has not been the focus of their lives.
Right.
That's why they have, you know, 600,000 and they're in their early 70s or late 60s, you know. So they're a nice enough couple that we've managed forever. It's somebody I'm definitely going to transition to another advisor, you know, as a recruiting tool. Somebody can help, you know, cover this. Or, you know, I'll share the revenue and they'll take it off my plate, basically.
If it was 6 million, you wouldn't have the problem, Ben.
That's true. Right.
And so I don't care where they go, but you shouldn't be working with them.
Okay? Right. I completely agree. So by the time they do, let's figure, with Adam's father, or if, if we bring on Adam's father's our recruiter, if we bring on a couple of FAs in, you know, 5 or 6 months, I want our crew to get, you know, well oiled. But say it shouldn't take us more than another, we're a month in. I don't think it's going to take more than 5 months, to introduce FAs to the team. I'll hand them off.
Right.
Let them figure it out.
Right.
So
when we're discussing your clients, let's not discuss that one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it brings a point. Look at the energy spent on it. You know,
right.
I wanted to use it for a role play, but you're right. The reason that they're saying buzz off is because they don't have a ton of assets.
No.
I've got one other. Let me see here. Actually, I do have to mention our top client though. Our top client, there's two other people that said it. One are the Shallots, older couple. Frankly, they're mostly in bonds. We keep them right at 2 million. They've always been there because it's too conservative of a portfolio with their withdrawals to even grow. It's always been there. The kids are clients now that have, you know, significant assets with us more than the parents. So it's a good family relationship at probably about 5 or 6, you know, between the parents and the kids. And, we're trying to get the other kid, a doctor, as a client, who's probably in his 50s. And, they just said, like, we know you're busy. So, and I said, well, you know, this is so we stay on top of it. We do this so we stay on top of it. I hadn't gone through your objection resolution model before I had spoken to them again. That's one other, you know, frankly, they're more concerned about other things than this. So that is valuing us, right? Although they do, believe me, they said our CPA loved your advice about, you know, the CARES Act this year. I'm paraphrasing. We returned all of their R&D and saved them a ton of money on tax. They loved it. I got to reach out to their CPA as a result of it. Let's see what else. Our top client said it, and he's like, it really is important to me, but when the market goes down. Wait, so you only want to talk when the market goes down? I mean, frankly, I talk to him all the time. He emailed me this morning for something I already sent him on Friday.
It's, don't take it too seriously, Ben.
Okay.
The reality is you're going to have the call. We're going to schedule it. It can be 5 minutes. If you're busy, these are two things we need to get done. Goodbye.
Yeah.
If they want to talk and you can go into some things that are important for them or your monthly analysis, whatever your monthly project is, great. But don't get hung up on their weirdness.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's a cute one. He's asking me for an update on Schwab. Guess what? I'm going to do that on our scheduled call.
Right.
On Schwab on our scheduled call.
And that's it. It's a training. See, it's training. That's a training issue.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what the folders are for. So make sure that if you haven't sent the folders to them, you send them to them.
Yeah, this is a topic. I mean, we did it originally. Is there something else I can do other than the physical at this point?
I know you want to avoid physical folders, but the reality is it makes a statement. When it comes and they open up the folder and you show them, you go through it either on Zoom or in person, and you show them where they're supposed to take notes, where the agenda goes, etc. It changes the dynamics of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it electronically, it's hard to, how do I say that? You can do it electronically, but you've got to have a written agenda that you call up and put on the Zoom in front of them. You've got to show the agenda. And then you've got to show the performance. So if you're doing that, that's great.
I do it I would say an electronic form. So we have a really nice summary that we send. I could give you examples. We have a really refined, like, you get your agenda a week ahead of time. Topics for next time are right there. We were able to pull them up, for 120 meetings, because literally the attendance this year has been so high. We have summaries from every meeting. And, there's a couple of quirky clients that don't like receiving things on email because of getting, they're afraid of getting hacked. That's okay. I send them internally then. So right. We have the memo internally.
Right.
And, that. So,
that's fine. That's the way we do it too. But, everything is internal and everything is, the agenda's on there and then the executive summary comes, but it's all internal. And once the client gets used to, going online and understanding their password, then they're fine with it,
Yeah. So, and that's what we're also training them to do, because I'm not mailing out quarterly reports anymore. It's all electronic.
Yep.
So we're just reiterating multiple times in the email. We'll help you get online.
Right. So good. Okay. Then that's fine. I'm not hung up on it. As long as you understand the value that you're creating and the process and that they are understanding that there's an agenda and an executive summary.
Right.
If you can do those two things, they're there, they understand it, and they should become raving fans based on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm in Florida right now and I'm using my wife's speaker. Are you hearing me clearly? Is there any feedback?
No, it's perfect.
It's very clear.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Terrific. Thank you.
I was just going to say the shallots I've known for 30 years, they're just so happy with their $2 million and we provide them. He's the guy that once called me and said, "How's my Social Security feeling today?" So that check a month. And they referred, they're very good. Their son, who is going to be a very good client, going to be a very substantial client. So here's people who are very content with their $2 million that's producing all they need. Okay. So it's a different kind of, I remember when I set up the account many years ago, he said, "I want to be conservative." I said, "I understand that. We're going to use a lot of bonds." Okay. and he's still there. So, but he's very happy. They're very happy. They set up 529s. They introduced their client, their son, and hopefully we can get the other son who I, it was going to be a harder sell, but that's besides the point. You just keep trying. So little insight.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I'm going to, you know, the issue is that if we don't talk for 6 months, they're already quarterly. So if we don't talk for 6 months, I mean, they get behind. By the way, the other one, the smaller clients did reschedule for December after I said that. I said, hey, I forgot how I responded, but I said something like, you know, we'll roll the topics to next quarter. They ended up rescheduling anyway. What I'll try to do is keep the calls short. That's the alternative. Just real quick, ABC, I gotta get, you know, whatever message out for the quarter. You know, you see your returns online. I don't even need to cover it if they don't, you know, care.
Right.
Don't focus on, we don't want to focus on returns, you know?
No.
So that's,
okay, you know, good.
Maybe I'll just take your suggestion to make it 5 minutes or less.
Yeah. I mean, I just, some days, you know, I can only go on my own situation, but there are some days when I'm really busy and I don't want to cancel, but I don't have any time.
Yeah.
So just go, you know, we just go to the thing. Give me the bullets that we need to take care of. We take care of those things and we're off literally in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
You know, that just depends. And some days I want to talk about my granddaughter, you know, so it's, you know, that can take hours. No, take 30 minutes. questions on the hiring process. That was the homework. So you did.
Yeah. It. Let's see. I didn't go through the teams. You know, your advice has always been to hire talent. Okay. And you know, motivated PhDs, that are looking to, you know, build something for themselves. So, you know, that's where I've focused, you know, our hiring. And Adam, I don't know, actually, I think we need to get you the book still. Did you, Pav, can you guys know that we ordered teams for Adam in particular? We're going to check on this. I'm going to have to go through that chapter, Rob. Otherwise I've just, you know, verbally spoken to you about these things.
Okay. Yeah. I just, you know, it's a skill. It's like any other skill.
Yes.
We're not born with the ability to identify talent. We learn over time by process of mistakes, and wisdom comes from it, and gradually. So you can gain an awful lot by relying on somebody that has hired thousands and thousands of people and has failed miserably and was known as a person that was really good at hiring. so that's me. So I'm that was what I did really well.
Mm-hmm.
And partly because I refused to have them fail. You know, I would work very hard to make them successful, but you're always going to have a failure rate and just want it to be as low as possible because it's very expensive.
Right. How would you say you found talent? What advice do you have for us there?
Be completely obsessive about it. I would ask everyone who's the best salesman you've ever known.
Okay.
And that was my, there's just a personality that is, you know, it's a risk taker. I would hire from places like Northwestern Mutual Life. If they could make it through that, and they were young and they were number one in their class nationally, I wanted to hire them. Mm-hmm. And I would.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be a top producer at the firm doing millions.
Wow.
Yeah. And I hired three from Northwestern Mutual Life and they all became multi-million dollar producers.
Wow.
One was the biggest producer at Morgan Stanley in their, you know, anyway, and the other two were big top producers. One was number two in the office. Another one was just a top producer. So it was their training and their persistence and the idea that they, you know, if you could sell life insurance, you sure as hell can sell what we sell, you know.
Right.
Particularly so, if you could sell life insurance as an investment.
Right.
So,
well, you've got,
laugh every time.
Got on the North Shore, you've got great, great talent up there in Northwestern Mutual Life. So, but anyway, that's what I would hire Edward Jones people. I didn't care where they came from. I would hire talent and I was always hunting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think 1 year I opened up 36 offices.
Wow. Yeah. And then the retention component has to do with, you know, your weekly meeting, your monthly meeting, right? So that it's not an annual meeting.
Right. You got to meet. When you start with somebody, you want to meet with them every day for a few minutes.
Right.
What are you doing? How are you doing? Let me see your pipeline. What are you doing? What are you doing? How are you doing? And you want to make it very specific goals. Okay. That this is because you can, you know, when you start, the goals seem like they're not that hard. But as the year goes on and they don't achieve them, they become very hard. So you want to keep the person ahead of their goals for the year. And you want to have that accountability. It can't be, you know, you just letting them on their own. If you're going to hire a team or a group of FAs, you want to hire them with the idea that they're going to be accountable. That this isn't a place to come and rest. This is a great place to grow. And that we're going to help you grow. And I'm going to help you grow. And we're going to hold you accountable. You don't want that? Then fine. You know, we'll do something else. Or I'll hire somebody else. Or it just depends on what you want. I mean, to me, I would want to hire somebody that was fun and wanted to grow and that I didn't need to spend a lot of time on. Okay. And just checking in with them made them know that you were around. That's all.
Right. Right. Okay. We did something successfully. You know, we reported into, we took away the concept that just because somebody's responsible for it doesn't mean that they do it. And so I had us report into basically director of branding and director of planning are who I worked with to finish the calendar for the quarter, and we sent it to John Brick as implementation. Okay. So I say, here, John, we're reporting in.
There you go. Great. So John gets to report it for the meeting and you guys did the work.
Right.
Terrific. Exactly. And he should give you credit for that at the meeting. These guys pulled this together. I'm reporting on it. And, you know, and everybody, it's a team.
Right.
And you got different skill sets and different parts of it. And, you know, he's like, okay, now that he's got it though, what's he going to do with it? That's the key. All right. So we're doing the training, you know, just like we do our preparations for each call that we make to a client. We want to do the same kind of preparations for the team a month in advance. So if next month is XYZ, you know, liability management, then John is the training officer. Okay. Mm-hmm. He gets to make sure that you guys know what the heck you're talking about. And literally almost scripts it for you of what you're going to say next month to all the clients.
Okay.
Okay.
John, do you have any questions on that? We've never had Brick involved on this. So if you could talk today, John, how are you feeling?
I'm good.
You're good.
I'm good. I saw your Excel file. Thanks for sending that. I don't have any major takeaways at the moment, but we can continue to build on this process. And that's, yeah, it's a good start.
Good. What's the initiative for November?
Go ahead. John.
The what?
Go ahead.
What's
the initiative for November?
Yeah, the focus.
Is it the what we just talked about was the quarterly calls, the meeting agendas?
Right.
Well, you got a topic that every month, and it doesn't have to change. It can be for 2 months, but it'd be like RMDs, or it'd be especially coming into this time of year, you're going to have a lot of tax selling and
yeah.
So what is it for November?
Well, I assume we would say Schwab transition.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. We got client survey results that we're going to go through with clients. If they have margin, we're moving 55% of our business to Schwab this quarter in the next 60 days. We got the lending rate down 40% at Schwab from TD Ameritrade on margin. So we have 50 clients that use margin, and we're going to move them this quarter. So I really haven't, to John's credit, John's not feeling well. So I haven't really gone over it with him. Okay. So I'll back him up on this. So if somebody has to move this quarter, we put the coding Q4 Schwab transition. That's a code to us. That's a margin client. Okay. If we're just bringing it up and we're going to tell them that we're going to move them next quarter, we just say Schwab transition. Occasionally there's a client that has financial planning as a topic. So when we work on individual plans, they're going to get an extra topic. Some of them have estate planning. So we mention that. That's just custom.
Yeah, yeah.
We have portfolio review for November, but not for December for the bi-quarterly clients. Let's see, client survey results, Schwab transition. I felt like there was one. Oh yeah. And then we just mentioned this topic of 2021 schedule. Sometimes it's in December for the bi-quarterly ones to break it up. Because something that we're having to do is we're going to send out Outlook invites again. We haven't done that for several years because we are having a problem with our current software. We don't have repeating invites that we can send. Only Outlook can do that. So we're going to let them know. It was one other housekeeping thing, basically housekeeping. So we're going to send you an Outlook invite that repeats quarterly because we actually don't have that right now. We're also letting clients know when we've created a group inbox. So like Smith at Altman Advisors is something that we did largely this quarter. And so we're going to use the opportunity to talk a little bit about that housekeeping that'll stop them from just emailing me directly. Okay. All these clients are used to emailing me, and we need to get them for everything, and we need to retrain them. So, like there's one this morning that's, everything's to me, our software malfunctioned. And so I had to let a couple clients know that they didn't have an appointment on Monday. And then they said, okay, but when is my appointment? Well, I replied to Smith at Altman Advisors, for the team to assist, and we'll get the clients. We got to repeat. Hey, we set up a group inbox for you for the fastest possible response time during business hours. Therefore it's going to more than one person, and we got to just train them.
Right.
So we're using the opportunity to train the clients on group inboxes, let them know they're expecting an Outlook invite for the 2021 calendar. Covering survey results. It's a lot of stuff. Covering survey results when they gave them. Okay. I want to educate my kids is the one from today. So
how many are actually,
you guys here? Are you here yet? I'm still in a meeting. You can come in. I mean, I can buzz you in. Other things not working here really. Okay. Thanks. Are you at the front door? Okay. I'll send someone down.
So,
here. actually on.
So Ben, how many are actually calling clients?
How often?
How many guys are actually acting as advisors and calling clients?
Yeah, one. So this is our quarter to introduce folks that clients don't know, because they literally have we hired three individuals in September. So they've started to interact with Dan and Pav largely. They know John Brick. The difference this quarter is that all of the calls I'm going to do are going to be with three people on the phone, which I know is terribly confusing, but I was actually just going to have them observing this quarter and next quarter, participating. So it's one quarter of observation just to see what the heck we do. Mm-hmm. And then next quarter is the, quarter where, you know, they'll be talking about topics and so on. So one practice round, it's observation. So I'm going to have Dan and Dylan on my alpha group. And then I'm going to have, Pavlichko and Brick on my Bravo group. And we're literally going to do, we're going to be backing each other up. So one squad backs up the other while we're on the phone calls, so the business can keep running. So today I have the phone calls over to Dan. The main line is over to Dan, and Pav and John and I are going to do the Supernova calls. The guys are going to be in the background observing at this point so they can see how we run these calls. And then next quarter, or perhaps in December already with the alphas that get two appointments, we'll introduce them we'll let them introduce the topics. I did get one response, client survey response from someone that they basically said they want to see a deeper bench. So, we're tired of talking to Ben. So, they didn't say it so explicitly, but they said, we want to talk to more people. So that was, they're only quarterly anyway. The calls are relatively short. We do have a business opportunity there. So that's a yellow light. But yeah.
Okay. Just to spend a minute on the week four's, initiative. it's Jim Lehrer, balance in your life, focusing on the rituals. He just wrote a new book on character, which I'm reading, which is interesting. But the idea is that you kind of create your ideal day, week, and month, but it's based not just on work, but it's based on proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet. And so what you want to do is force yourself to eliminate the high fat, high carbohydrate, sweet treats and things, and substitute good things that are good for you, and eat in moderation at all meals. Proper sleep, 8 hours of sleep, and exercise an hour of pretty good intense exercise every day. And the more stress you're under, the more exercise you should get. So if you're feeling the stress of whatever it is, then it doesn't hurt to do more than one exercise a day. So you control your stress with exercise rather than with alcohol or with drugs or whatever. So it's a much better solution to the problem of our stressful world today. And the idea of rituals is that we are all given the same amount of discipline, but you substitute, once you've created a habit, which takes as long as it takes to create it, but let's say you decide that you're going to work out before you come to work every day and you do it for 20 days, that's probably enough to have created a habit. And then that becomes a ritual. Like I bike Monday, Wednesday, Friday with a buddy here. And then I had to create the same thing in Nashville because I'm not really great at going and biking by myself. So I have, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6:20, I meet somebody and we ride. And that's my discipline. I had a trainer for 30 years in Indiana because she kept me on track and on my rituals. So whatever it takes for you to stay on your rituals is what it takes. If you need to hire a trainer, if you need to hire a buddy or have a buddy, or you have a running buddy or a workout buddy, those are the things that keep us on track. We're all fallible human beings and we all backslide. The question is, how do you keep yourself proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet? So create your rituals for your work, which is your 12-4-2s, and also create your rituals for taking care of yourself so you have balance in your life. And give yourself time for those things. And the office should encourage proper nutrition by having fruit around, snacks that are good for you, rather than celebrating birthdays with cakes and cupcakes and things like that. Celebrate them with fruit and good things to eat.
Right.
So it's just, you know, we're all in the game together trying to protect everybody's health. And it's just a lot easier. What I've found over the years, and Shelley will probably agree with this, it isn't that you're going to avoid getting something. You're just going to be stronger when you get it. And you're probably going to deal with it better when you get it, whether it's heart or it's cancer or it's something else. So, plus when you live a disciplined life or a ritualized life, you have more energy and you have more fun, when you can do things. So, the other thing that, and I'll leave you with this, is this idea of having a team that helps a person during their retirement. And I think Ben, you can think about this seriously, where you have a team that works and helps. You know, we always talk about having a team around a person selling their business, but how about just the executive retiring? You know, what kind of support does he get or she get? It's the most traumatic thing that can happen next to probably a divorce. And there are lots of support and psychiatrists and psychologists that help with divorce. But where are they when it comes to retirement? Everybody thinks it's this wonderful thing that people retire to. The problem is most people are retiring from something and not to something. And so they're not prepared. And so they go through 2 years of pretty bad depression. And you can help them a lot through that by having a team that you can call on to support them. So I just want you to think about that. I mean, Shelley has been blessed by not retiring, right? Gradually retiring. And so you don't get that trauma, but most people do not have that luxury. So, just think about.
Yeah, I really enjoy, as an example, I really enjoy contributing to that market commentary. It's creative work.
Right. So anyway, think about your friends, right? And the ones that have done it well, and nobody admits they're not doing well, right? That you just see them. They're not doing anything. And so they're miserable. So you can help them a lot. So just be prepared, with a team for when somebody's retiring. There's a great book, Younger Next Year, which I recommend giving to everybody as they retire. And then following through on that. Okay. Thanks.
Bob, did you say there's a good book on retiring? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's called Younger Next Year.
Yeah.
And we have somebody retiring now. Interesting. Well, we should get that.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob. Be well.
Right. See you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.